Warning, the following program is a collection of idiots talking about the happenings in the sports entertainment world. It is meant to be comedically informative. The opinions expressed on this show does not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their bosses, or the Infinite Plus Network. There may be some out-of-pocket things said on this show, because this is how we talk to each other. If you are young, please seek permission before watching any further. Your homies, the Three Count Podcast. P.S. Please don't sue us.
Welcome to the Villains Lounge.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you guys to the Villains Lounge. I am your host. I am the Three Counts resident supervillain. I am the Dark Lord himself, the Dark Goat, Damien Fatale. And, of course, I'm not alone today, and I'm going to bring him right on in. And here he is, the one and only, I almost called you Trick Webber.
Twitch Graves, get it right.
I almost called you Trick Williams. Y'all look nothing alike.
Not even wow.
You don't talk alike.
Wow.
I don't know why the hell that came out of my mouth. I am still tired from my trip to Texas, folks.
I feel some type of way.
You shouldn't. You should actually feel honored. I mean, supposedly he's doing good for himself. So, I mean, at least it wasn't the Tony Khan.
Oh, we'd fight. I'd be on the next flight to your house.
All right, let me jump into the news. All right, so the first thing I think I'm going to talk about, I'm going to save the elephant in the room for last. First thing I'm going to talk about is the plumber, Moxley, has now the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. And
shout out to John Moxley.
No, congratulations. That's pretty cool. I didn't see it coming. I didn't even know he had a title shot. So, who the hell did he beat?
To be honest, I don't know. It was just on my
timeline.
I forgot
who the fucking world champion was.
New Japan runs at such weird hours.
I know. I forgot who the heck the New Japan champion was at the time. If anybody watches this, put it in the comments. We'll look for it later. But, yeah. So, congratulations to John Moxley on that one. I know I just called him a plumber, but he kind of does look like one. I have to agree with Cornette on that one. But at least he doesn't wrestle like one, so... Hats off, buddy. Good job. And then I guess some speculation of possibly, maybe, we're hearing it, some dates was canceled for him, but Jacob Fatu has been signed to WWE. This is going to make the Bloodline storyline a little bit more interesting because, I mean, he could either join Solo and the other guy with the Wise Man, or are we going to get Jimmy and Jay back together and he could join them? I mean, it could go either way.
I'm so
hurt. Perfectly honest with you. And we'll talk about your hurtness later. But with that said, let's talk about the humongous, ginormous elephant in the room. CM Punk did an interview on, Ariel Helwani, right? The MMA Hour, I believe it was.
Yes, that was Ariel Helwani.
It was the week before WrestleMania is when that interview dropped, I believe. Was it the week of?
That was the week of WrestleMania.
Was it? Yes, it was. You're right. It was the week of WrestleMania. He did an interview. He was asked a bunch of questions, of course, about the incident at All In and, you know, All Out. Of course, he couldn't talk about All Out because, as in his words, he signed an NDA, but not for anything that he did wrong. So that right there just tells you, And so, it was... It was very, 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 very interesting and kind of crazy. He also talked a little bit about the situation at All In
and gave his account of what happened. And, you know, in his words, he heard what happened. He confronted him, asked him, why is he doing this internet indie bullshit? And supposedly Perry's response was, well, if you basically got a problem about it, do something. So Perry fucked around and found out real quick and got yoked up.
Or did he?
Fight was stopped, or the choking was stopped, because it wasn't a fight. The choking got stopped. Joe was able to help pull him apart, along with, it looked like it was Jerry Lynn and Chris Hero, I believe. And as Punk said afterwards, he looked at Tony and was angry and basically told him that this is bullshit, he's a clown, and he quits. So, Tony.
Good for him.
Tony decides. God, Tony. Tony decides that he is going to air the footage of All In live on Dynamite. And the internet went nuts. It seems like 99.9% of the internet wrestling community was like, why? Why? Like, why? Why are you doing this? There's word that the Bucks really weren't on board with it at first. It kind of just is what it is. But they used it to hype up their match against FTR. And you know what? I don't like the Bucks, but I will give them credit for trying to make this shit make sense. Was it a bit? Yeah, but I guess for them, it kind of worked. You know what I mean? Like, they're basically blaming FTR for causing the fight and, you know, getting their head out of the game and causing them to lose against FTR at Wembley. So,
sucks, I mean, to suck.
It does, but what else were you going to do with it?
I mean, not much of anything. Like,
we know Tony should have showed this when he decided to say he was scared for his life, which that video proves that Tony's a bitch.
Wholehearted bitch.
Like, so, I guess the thing is, the video proved Punk right, and it made the morale and the back locker room, you can see it on Tony Schiavone's face. That
the morale has got to be at an all-time low.
Like, Tony Schiavone's face coming back from said segment said it all. Like, he literally just had his head in his face like, why are we doing this? Like, why? Like, what reason? And so, it's kind of reminiscent of Nitro. Back in the late 90s, 2000. 2001, where they were just doing redonkulous shit. So, of course, I'm not going to give too much of my comments on this, because we'll probably be talking about this shit tomorrow. So, I'm pretty sure we are, because, I mean, it's nuts. It's stupid.
There's literally nothing to say about it. Like,
it really isn't, but, like, at the same time, it's just like, really? Got a few comments. Just for you, Twitch.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've had it for a while.
And there you go. Wednesday of WrestleMania. So we got it right. We got it right. We got Mr. Thank Golden. Okay, that was good. That was good. That was good. And the finger Mr. poker Golden doom. Wins. Yes, it does. That was the finger poker doom. And there's a shock. Twitch has nothing to say. But so, I mean, I guess it's just kind of is what it is. In the end, it made Tony look bad. Let's just put it out there like that. It did not make him look good. It made him look petty. And I will go into my spiel about this tomorrow, because I went off when I heard about this and saw the video. Like, I went off. So I do have a nice big spiel. So look, wrestling was crazy. WrestleMania week last week. Y'all didn't hear from me because I was on the road to Texas. I did do the second night of the watch along, but again, was in Texas for a family reunion and an awesome solar eclipse. It was beautiful, magnificent. So I guess let's, I mean, we can run through WrestleMania real quick. If you didn't watch WrestleMania, you're living under a rock. I just want to put that out there.
Very much so.
Night one started off. Shoot, I might as well start with Stand and Deliver now that I think about it. Let's start with Stand and Deliver.
God.
Stand and Deliver was really good, dude. I enjoyed Stand and Deliver. They get a 4 out of 5. They killed it. Every match was pretty fucking brutal. Like, they went out there to prove something. And the pre-show had, this is actually one of my favorite matches. This was on the fucking pre-show. Joe Gacy versus Sean Spears.
Oh, okay.
Dude, great match. I am falling in love with Joe Gacy. The character work, like, I was iffy on him at first when he first showed up, but with the long storm character building of his insanity and his craziness, it's been great what he's transformed into, and he got the W over Sean Spears. So, and that was a good, solid, fun match. We had the NXT Tag Team Championship match, Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus Axiom and Nathan Frazier. And the champs retained on that one, as they should, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, Frazier and Axiom are an amazing team. They did great. And it also will go into my NXT results in a bit about what, you know, kind of transpired. But it was a great match. The heels dominated like they should because they're two big, crazy dudes. But those little guys got some hell of an offense and kind of pushed them to the limits. But in the end, Frazier got hit with the End of Days in 1-2-3.
Beautiful match.
So, like, I don't know. It was crazy. That spear that he got was nuts. Yeah. This match right here is probably, it might be my match of the night for them. Probably even all day Saturday, because it was just, it was three big ass dudes killing each other. It was the North American Championship match. Dijak versus Josh Briggs versus my boy Obafemi, the North American champion. And if this match did not prove that this dude is a beast, considering that I don't even think this man has had like 30 matches yet under his belt. And it looks like he's been doing it since he came out the womb.
Forever, dude.
Right?
So fluent.
Oh, it was. And this was one of those where, like, it was a true test to his championship run.
Yeah.
I feel. Because you got Josh Briggs. He's been amazing since he's been put on TV. And we already know what Dijak can do. But Obafemi comes out victorious. Still the NXT North American champion.
I like it.
Well-deserved. But, like, that finish was amazing. Like, they at one point they were teaming up against Obafemi, and even that was not keeping this man down. Like, he went through a wall. Like, it was like they did everything but threw the kitchen sink at this man. They even threw the kitchen refrigerator at him.
This match was the definition of you woke up and picked violence.
Yeah. Like, all three. All men were on red.
Exactly.
From jump. And it was great. It was amazing. I loved every minute of it. Then we got a 6-woman tag match where you had Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan versus JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. The Mean Girls are growing on me. They kind of remind me of the Beautiful People in a way, but kind of doing their own thing as far as the mean-spiritedness of everything.
I brought that up in a conversation with somebody else, and they told me I was crazy. So at least hearing it from someone else makes me feel better.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm sorry. Kiana James and Izzy Dame together are giving off the mean girl, like, vibe. And, like, that's kind of, that's the same thing that, you know, beautiful people were. They were mean girls. But that's just what they were. Let's just call it what it was. And then adding JC Jane to the mix, it just kind of gives them a little bit more mean credibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it looks like the Faces were able to pick up that victory. Thea Hale, I love Thea. She is the most awkwardest female in the world. Like, she doesn't know how to be a chick. It's great. And just her spunkiness for being like this tiny little spunky, crazy, crazed maniac. But a good match. Good match. Ladies went out there and killed it. And then we get the NXT Women's Championship match. Roxanne Perez versus Lyra Valkyria. And these girls went out there and put on a barn burner. A great match. Great back and forth. You got to see some great, great, great heel work from Roxanne Perez. I'm liking this change. I'm liking this new attitude. Like, it's, she's on that fuck what you think tip, and it's more power to her. I'm liking it. I'm loving it. And she walks away with the NXT Women's Championship.
I didn't get to finish watching that match, but
it's the championship that she never lost.
Yeah. This is where my day actually started, so I didn't really get to watch much of Stand and Deliver.
I can understand that. And then we got the NXT Championship match. Ilya Dragunov, the champion, versus Tony D'Angelo. And for me, this was a coming out party for Tony D'Angelo to basically say, I am in that top echelon of being the top guy or being a champion in NXT and hell, in WWE too, in the main roster. He went out there and he killed it. The whole playing back and forth of, you know, him wanting to play fair and, like, you know, do this fairly after weeks of taunting and, you know, injuring Dragunov's hand. Great storytelling on both ends. Dragunov, we know, is, he's the man.
Yeah.
Cannot wait for him on the main roster. Oh, man. Of course, him and Gunther. They, you know, they're going to have to run that.
Oh, all day long, please.
So that's going to be freaking amazing. But Dragunov was able to come out with the W and retain when I actually thought D'Angelo was going to win that one. Okay. We had a did picks. I probably would have picked D'Angelo because I was expecting Dragunov to, you know, show up on Raw.
Yeah.
And be permanently on there to the draft. But they're doing some weird shit with the draft. So I'll talk about that when I talk about Monday Night Raw. So, yeah, no, it was really, really good. And then the main event, we got Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes. And
whoop that trick.
This match delivered what it was supposed to be. Maybe even a little bit beyond. These boys whipped each other's ass.
Yeah.
Carmelo is phenomenal. Let's just, like, give it to him. He was phenomenal on the indies. And just the growth that he has got done, basically, over the years and the couple years he's been down at NXT. And then the shit that he's done on SmackDown. The matches he's had on SmackDown have been phenomenal. And then he put over his boy Trick Williams. Trick Williams was able to come out with that big W over the heel, Carmelo Hayes, as he should. That was a good way to end Stand and Deliver, something happy, and, you know, put Trick over. It was definitely well-deserved. So, like I said, Stand and Deliver gets a solid 4 for me. All the way through, those people did. They stand and they delivered. As only NXT can. All right, so I'm gonna run through a WrestleMania Night 1 and 2.
Just a quick question, real fast. Why did they change it from Takeover to Stand and Deliver? Because wasn't it originally Takeover?
It was originally Takeover. I don't know. I think it's because when they did the NXT 2.0, they started changing and going away from old NXT. Okay. And then it kind of like changed somewhat of a mixture of the original NXT and 2.0.
Okay.
They got rid of the 2.0. You see that they kept the belts from the 2.0 era.
Yeah.
And but it's like a mixture. It's like a hodgepodge mixture of both. Like something new but something old.
I mean,
Takeover, it's a great name. It was a great name. But think about it. I guess think about it this way. They've already taken over.
Yeah, I like Stand and Deliver better.
They're kind of out of that element. They've already taken over and kind of solidified themselves as a third brand.
Yeah.
So, like, it's one of those where it's like the Stand and Deliver, it kind of makes sense for the evolution of the company. So, that's the reason why.
Just curious.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why. I don't, you know, come, like, you know, it is what it is.
Grain of salt. Right.
Yeah. So, WrestleMania started off hot. The Women's World Championship match, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Phenomenal match. Had me on the edge of my seat, but mommy is always on top, and always. She was on top this night and walked away with the W. And then we got probably one of the most entertaining tag team championship ladder matches that I think I've ever seen. Ever.
That was a fun one.
It was supposed to be a clusterfuck, but it was such a great clusterfuck that it was nuts. Both titles on the line separately. So they were separating the tag team titles. I mean, it could have been a possibility that one team could have won both, but this was the opportunity to split them, and I'm happy that they did. In my predictions, I did pick the wrong team because I should have known that it will be a heel team and a face team that was going to win, and I picked two faces. I picked with my heart, not with my brain. So, you know, at the end, we got A-Town Down Under becoming the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And then we got the Awesome Truth finally winning Tag Team Gold as a team to become the Raw SmackDown Champions, where Judgment Day walked away with Nata.
So I liked how they had the titles on like separate ends of the ring.
Yeah, it was good that it wasn't trying to be all clustered in the middle. It was good that it was on two sides. My favorite spot of that match, Grayson Waller getting dumped to the outside with that powerbomb by New Catch Republic.
Yeah.
Holding on to the SmackDown Tag Team Championship belt.
I like Damian hitting that like razor edge on Tyler Bate into Pete Dunne.
Oh, I know, that was really good too. It was a lot of great spots to this match. Those men went out there and killed it. Greatest cluster I think I've seen in a bit. So, you know, hats off, gents. Then we got Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santo Escobar and Dirty Dom. You know, honestly, I wanted the heels to win this. I heard that for some reason Andrade got put in that spot instead of Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee got attacked by someone. We all saw the way Carlito was looking.
Right.
We all saw the way he was looking. Come on now.
Shady as fuck.
Exactly. So we know what Carlito did. Looks like he's going to turn on him. And you know what? That seems very Carlito-ish. But Andrade and Rey Mysterio gets the W on that. And that was a really good, fun match. A very, very fun match. Again, Judgment Day is now down two to one. Having a bad night.
Yeah, they're not doing too good.
So then we get brother versus brother, twin versus twin, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. Okay, so the storytelling of this match was phenomenal. The story that they were telling was great. It was spot on. I think it was because of the fact that they're so freaking similar and nobody pulled out anything new. Like, this could have been a Raw match and I wouldn't have been disappointed. You know what
this
I mean?
This could have been a Raw or SmackDown match and I would have been a lot happier.
It was like I was missing something.
It was like I was saying to Cliff, there has been two other brother versus brother matches, Owen versus Brett, Matt versus Jeff. Owen versus Brett was a good match.
It was
Matt versus Jeff was absolute trash.
It was not good.
This falls in the Matt versus Jeff category for me, and it was trash.
See, I wouldn't call it trash because the reason I wouldn't call it trash is there were no mistakes.
Maybe trash is too harsh of a statement, but this
it was too predictable.
Yeah.
But like, it was very disappointing. As Ed said, the storytelling was great, but the match itself was very disappointing. And it was. Exactly. It was a huge letdown. It wasn't.
What about
Shane versus? We don't count that one. Just like we don't count Kane and Undertaker. They're not real brothers.
Sure they are.
But it was solid. It told the story that it needed to tell. Jay got the W as he should have, but I wish they would have done something different. You know what I mean? Like, tried something a little different, added something that they normally don't do. It was more of they do the same fucking things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just is what it is, I guess.
I feel like that was the issue with Matt and Jeff as well, is they do the same things.
Exactly.
Brett and
Owen, they were similar too, but they could each do different shit.
Yeah.
Like, Owen was, even though he was technical, he could fly.
They fed off of each other better.
They did. It was a better story, in my opinion, as far as the in-ring work was and the storytelling, too. It was good. It was good all around.
Yeah.
All right. So then we're going to get to the 6 women tag team match.
It was
Damage Control versus the Big 3, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi. This match was what I was expecting. Every person on each side got their shit in like they were supposed to. Damage Control made the Big 3 look amazing. I believe Jade is the one that got the pinfall. And Jade's looking great. She's looking amazing. Bianca always looks great. Naomi always looks great. Even though Dakota Kai was kind of the weakest link in that, she looked phenomenal.
Dakota Kai looked good. I didn't
like on paper, she looks like the weakest link.
On paper, yes, very much.
But like they even though on paper Damage Control looked like they had the least likely team, they made up for it everything in that ring. The entrance for the Big 3 was off the hook. Them coming down from the podium and then stepping off and each getting their entrance was fire. Enjoyed it immensely. Great match. Then we got the match that I was not expecting the finish just because I was expecting them to kind of push it a little bit more, but I feel like this man needs a break. We got the Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther at 666 days versus the underdog Sami Zayn. And this match was great. The story leading into it, going into it, him kissing his wife and being around his son, his wife going out there, I mean, cheering for this man hard.
Very hard.
She suspended belief completely. It was great. And ultimately, Sammy was able to pull that victory out and become the new WWE Intercontinental Champion, ending the 666-day reign of Gunther, and hats off. And I expect on Monday that it will be a barn burner between Sami Zayn and
Chad Gable.
And Chad Gable, one of somebody's turning heel.
Oh man.
Somebody's turning heel. I'm sorry.
That's gonna hurt because I like them both as baby faces.
I do too, but Sammy can play a good heel. I feel like Chad can too. I feel like Chad can pull off a good heel, I think.
He's
proved that he can pull off annoying heel.
Now it's time for him to pull off like nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, great match. Hats off to Sammy. Then we get the main event. We get the Bloodline, The Rock versus the Tribal Chief, the head of the table. I forgot The Rock wants to be called the final boss. So it's the final boss and the Tribal Chief versus the American Nightmare and the Architect, Seth Rollins. And this match was better than it should have been. I don't know. Like, I went into this match, like, all right, you know what? It'll be all right. I mean, yeah, it deserves the main event because of the caliber that it's on and the level that it's on. But, like, I'm not expecting anything too fucking crazy. And the match was nuts. They did their thing. It was a good close to night one. The match was phenomenal. And in the end, the Bloodline wins, which they should have, because Cody needed to have everything stacked against him for night two in his match against Roman. Because if it was a straight up match, dude, it would have been
It would have been very, I don't want to say bad, but very
underwhelming.
Very underwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Bloodline needed to win. I feel like both Seth and Cody needed to go into this being dejected going into night two. Yeah. And in affecting one more than the other.
Yeah.
It played perfectly. Seth was selling, you know, being hurt. And it kind of just opened things up for the start of night one. And they kicked off night one with the World Heavyweight Championship. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, which I was like, why? Night two, I meant. They started night two off with Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. And I was like, why are you doing this to me? I took us on this crazy freaking ride. So we get a great match. We get a Claymore off rip.
The off moment rip. That bell rang.
Off rip. And Seth was fighting underneath the whole time, as he should have, because of him being beat to shreds less than 24 hours ago. So this man didn't get a full 24 to try to heal up. So he went in there and he fought. They fought. It was finisher after finisher after false finish after false finish. Great match. It took three Claymores to keep Seth down, I believe.
I thought he ate like six of those bitches the way Drew kept throwing them out there.
It's like three or four. I can't remember. I know he missed a couple.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, and Seth, I think, only got like two stomps and missed a couple. Yeah. At the same time, can't forget that CM Punk was also at ringside, throwing so much shade at Drew.
Oh my God.
The whole entire time. And it was hilarious. It was great. But in the end, Drew gets that 1-2-3 and finally wins a big championship in front of a crowd, celebrates with his wife, and then does heel 101 mistake. And he let Punk live in his head rent-free.
Man.
And so Drew goes over there to talk smack. And it was some good big-time smack. Crawls over to him over the desk, tells the camera guy, like, take a picture of this. I want to frame it over my mantle. I was like, no, we're good.
I bet you don't now. I bet you don't now.
So then he goes to stand up in front of Punk and turn his back on Punk for some reason. And Punk scoops that leg, takes that bump to the table, and then Punk takes off the brace of his torn tricep, and commences to whoop Drew's ass with that clothesline with the brace and just stomping him like he owes him money. Like, you would have thought that, like Drew, like, took his muffin from Mindy's. The fact that Punk is healing a lot faster than he was from his last tricep tear.
Yeah. Very, very much faster.
I was shocked when he took it off. I popped for it. I ain't gonna lie. And then in the middle of getting, like, beating down Drew, all of a sudden Damian Priest's music hits, and I was like, I knew it. You knew it. So he comes out, hits Drew with the briefcase, cashes in, hits the South of Heaven. 1, 2, 3. We have a new world champion after Drew held it for 5 minutes.
Triple H saw that I'm bored at work post he made.
Yeah, he did.
You ain't bored no more.
Right? Here's something to do. So, congratulations to Damian. Congratulations to Drew for 5 minutes. But definitely for congratulations.
Was it even 5 minutes?
No, they said it was 5 minutes.
Okay.
Like, total. From the time that the bell rung with the three.
Yeah.
To the time with the three count that he lost. And my wife needs to tell me something. What's up? Okay, what they say?
Tell people Danny answered his phone.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking. My mother-in-law's at the airport, and we're not sure if she needs to be picked up.
Well, he wants me to come get them. Apparently, he's got the luggage, and she had to go off and find her wallet. Like, her wallet got lost, and they, like... did an announcement for Lost and Found, so I guess she had to follow them and go back through security so they can go to the Lost and Found area and get the fucking wallet. So he's sitting there all frustrated and waiting on her, and I asked if there was, like, a shuttle plan, and he said she talked about a shuttle plan, but there's no plans yet, and he said, just come and get us.
Okay, no, you need to wait till you hear from your mother. we're not doing this. Sorry, guys. That was important. My bad. Sorry. We'll figure that out. You know, you wait.
You don't fly.
Wait.
Sorry, guys.
Wait to hit that. But so, yeah. So we get that. The cash in. Money in the bank. He finally cashed in. Everybody was saying he was a loser for not cashing in before. But I think this was a better cash in for him. So,
you know what, man? I really like this.
Life and wife does come first. I appreciate it, Mr. Gold.
Very much so. But I liked this cash-in. I kind of thought it was going to happen during the match, though.
I'm happy that way that it happened, because it builds that tension between Drew and Punk. And that's what we're going to get.
I'm a lot happier with the way it happened.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty cool. A match that could have been on a pre-show that I really did not give two shits about. No offense or anything. I'm just done with these two teams facing each other. I'm done. So we got a 6-man tag Philly street fight. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament, which on paper, it looks completely unfair. Let's just call a spade a spade. The Street Profits, poor Street Profits. They should not be going up against the Authors of Pain. That's just not right. Like, what did they do to deserve that? Like, who did they piss off? Like, yeah, you're going to be feuding with the Authors of Pain for the next 3 months or two months. Yeah. Like, who did y'all shit in somebody's fucking cereal, didn't you? Had to. But the Profits and Lashley gets the W, which was pretty cool. I do have a favorite part of that match. B-Fab putting the boots to Scarlett and then taking one for the team. And them both going through a freaking table. That was freaking awesome.
Bubba Ray Dudley being the special guest referee was the best moment of that match.
That was pretty cool, too, actually. I can't lie. That was,
why that he was the special guest referee, I have no
idea. I think it's because it was a Philly Street Fight. ECW, that would make sense. So it made sense. It was pretty dope. It was a lot better than I expected to be. So that's why I was like very entertained by it. And hats off to the guys and the ladies for delivering a better third place match than the brothers did. I ain't gonna lie to you. I just did. Then we get LA Knight versus AJ Styles, and these fools just Why? They didn't have to do all that.
Yes, they did.
They tried to kill each other.
So what?
It was a really good match. Those men went out there and killed it. It was a really great match. LA Knight got the victory, as he should have.
Yeah.
This doesn't hurt AJ whatsoever. Another match. The next match was better than it needed or should have been. And that is the United States Championship triple threat match between the champion Logan Paul with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. That poor guy in the bottle. Why does the bottle guy always get fucked up?
Why? Because you're the bottle guy and you came out. You knew what this was. Everybody knows that a triple threat rule is no disqualification. You should have stayed the fuck away.
Look, my thing is, if you had to pick somebody to mouth off with, and neither man is good to mouth off to, but if I had to choose, it would be KO all day long. Randy is too fucking chiseled, big, ripped, and angry. See the way he tossed him?
Yeah.
I would have rather the bottle get taken off. I mean, he took the bottle off so he didn't have any cushion.
I don't disagree
KO probably would have beat him with the bottle on.
No.
Randy took it off.
I feel like KO would have took it off too.
He might have, but I feel like, I don't know, this seems more of a Randy thing to do, and God, the match was good. It was chaotic. It was a cluster, but a good cluster. And in the end, your boy Logan Paul gets the W. Oh,
fucking Jesus Christ, man. You know what? This was the worst moment of WrestleMania. I don't care if Triple H sees this. Who sees this? I think that this was the worst moment, and it hurt. It hurt really bad.
The match was really good, though. You can't say the match wasn't really, really good.
I can't say the match wasn't really, really good. And I've said this before. I don't take away from his wrestling abilities. I just don't like you.
That means he's doing his job.
Put a mask on him and maybe I'll like him.
He does have a punchable face, doesn't he?
He does. He
has a naturally punchable face. But great match.
To go with the comment that I just seen, his frog splash is impressive.
His frog splash is very much it's definitely beautiful. Hey, dude, he does the buckshot lariat better than the person that does it.
That is so bad that he does that better than Hangman Adam Page.
Hangman's been doing it for years.
Right. Like, see, I do give Logan Paul credit where it's due, but I just don't like him.
This is what it is. And then we get the WWE Women's Championship match, Bayley versus Io Sky. These ladies went out there and told a great story. And Bayley was fighting from underneath as a huge baby face. And in the end, Bayley is our new WWE Women's Champion.
Shout out Bailey.
Well deserved. The crowd went nuts for her. She had an awesome WrestleMania moment. Her and EO tore the house down going into right before the main event. Which now brings me to the main event. Will or will he not finish the story? We get Cody Rhodes. If you're living under a rock and you don't know that he finished part of his story, then you're an idiot. I'm just going to put that on there right now. Complete. Right? Chapter one is down and complete, or book one. Now we're going to book two. We get Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. Roman was at 1,316 days at this point, and also main eventing his ninth WrestleMania.
Was it nine?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got the record now. Him and Hulk Hogan tied on Saturday. And then he beats
Roman,
it.
We need one more out of you, Roman.
He beats it. And we might. WrestleMania is a bit of ways. He might pop back up there and say, I want my rematch. Never know. He might wreck everyone and leave.
Is that even a thing anymore?
What?
Rematch clauses?
Nah, not really.
They've been kind of been
letting them fall to the wayside. It doesn't matter. But Cody gets the W. I'm going to let you know I was on edge the whole entire time.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I wanted Roman to win. I really, really, really did. Selfishly. Because of the safety of one of our good friends that was physically there, I was hoping Cody was going to win because they were in Philly.
Oh, man.
And if Roman had a won, there probably would have been a riot. Let's just keep it 100.
Yeah, Philly would have definitely rioted.
Well, as I told him, I was like, yo, if it looks like Cody's going to lose,
get the fuck out.
Get out. Just stay. And they were deep in the trenches.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Yeah, they were actually, I thought they were going to be like up more. No, they were actually pretty deep in the trenches.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, yeah. You might want to go
stand by. Do not walk to the nearest exit.
Right. Like, you should just stand at the exit entrance to watch the whole match. Just stand there for like the 30, 40 minutes that this is going to take.
Yep.
But exactly. This match had everything. Went a good grip, no interference. They did the. They had Jimmy interference. Jay comes out there to help. Jay spears Jimmy off the side of the ramp. They're out. Cody's got the upper hand again. Solo comes out. Samoan Spike playing off from what happened at WrestleMania. God damn it! And then. He's trying to tell Roman, which this was good storytelling. This makes sense of what happened on Friday, of him feeling like Roman's not, like, you know what I mean? Not, like, up to snuff like he should be. Like, he's distracted for some reason.
Yeah.
As always, Roman fucking killed it with everything that he did in there. And then who else came out? Let's see.
Jimmy came out and interfered. Jay came out to stop Jimmy. Solo came out to interfere. Mr. You Can't See Me, John Cena, made an appearance and came out and stopped Solo. The Rock finally got fed up with everybody's bullshit, came out. And this was the biggest surprise for me because I thought it would be somebody else. I did not expect The Undertaker to pop up and choke The Rock.
Didn't either. There were talks they were trying to get Steve Austin to do it.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do it for whatever reasons. He's busy. You know what I mean? He's filming shit and doing shit. So
that's honestly who I would have thought would have done it.
I think that's what they were going with. Like, that's what they were going for because it makes sense because of their history.
Yeah.
But Undertaker is a good backup because
I ain't mad at it.
Rock, Roman,
they both got history, you know, with Undertaker. So it made sense. It was a great surprise. They both disappeared after the lights went out again. It left Cody and Roman by themselves. And in the end, Cody was able to hit those three consecutive crossroads and get that W. And like I said, the pop. Let's just say the pop.
They couldn't get a deal with Austin and Time.
So, possible. But I just think it was a lot to go with that of the reason why they couldn't get him in there. But
I thought it was something to do with Broken Skull Ranch with the beer company. He's having like a launch, but
it's something was going on. It was business. Let's just put it like that. It was business. So all together, night one and night two, they both together they get a perfect 5-star rating. It was.
One and night two together, I will give a solid. I'll give it 4 3/4. There were some things that I would have liked to see in a couple pre-show matches personally, but you can't get everybody on there.
I just say it was probably one of the best WrestleManias I've seen since was it 17.
Yeah,
because 17 is probably like the go-to WrestleMania. It's just one of those perfect WrestleManias, everything fit together. But this is the first Paul Levesque WrestleMania, and hats off, Paul. Good job. You fucking killed it. Dude, he killed
it. Shout out Paul Levesque.
Right? But yeah, so WrestleMania, that was great.
Loved it.
Raw was crazy. Started off with a Cody promo. Rock came out there and was awkward. Awkward as fucking gave him something in his hand.
I think I know what he gave him.
What do you think it is?
I think he gave him the beads off of Roman's Fala necklace.
That could be it, but I believe Cody said what he did give him, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, I believe he did. I saw something. It might have been on SmackDown. I can't remember. But it was something that he gave him a while back. Like when he was first there. He gave Rock a gift of some sort. And it was that. He like kind of re-gifted.
Okay.
Gave it back to him. Then we got the debut of Ilya Dragunov versus Shinsuke Nakamura. That was really good. As Mr. Golden says, it doesn't matter what he gave him.
But it does matter.
And yeah, Cody never really specified exactly what it was, but he did say it was a gift that he gave him.
Yeah.
But Dragunov versus Nakamura, that was fun. That was a match I didn't know I wanted. I wish it got a little bit more time, but Dragunov was able to get the W over Shinsuke, and that was pretty cool. Probably one of my favorite segments on Raw. You had the celebration of the Judgment Day, the new World Heavyweight Champion and the new World Women's Champion celebrating, and then R-Truth pops up.
I love this, man.
R-Truth pops up and is trying to like get Miz into the Judgment. This is just great. He really is a national treasure, dude. I love R-Truth,
bro.
He made this segment even funnier. They got into, you know, some arguments. And I believe it set up a match. Like later on, I believe it was. It was the Miz and John Cena and R-Truth, but he was like the guy you can't see, and Miz thought he was talking about little Jimmy. He got nervous, and it was going to be Dom. It was Dom,
JD, and Finn.
JD and Finn. And that was a pretty cool match. You got a triple that went right into the match. So you got a triple 5-knuckle shuffle and
a triple attitude adjustment for them to get the W over the
Jets. To quote Michael Cole, you got a 15-knuckle shuffle.
Yeah, he got a 15-knuckle shuffle. Mr. Golden said he gave Cody Jade's phone number. Oh. Well, wouldn't he have it already?
JD McNuggets.
That was funny. JD McNugget. that was a fun little match. And really good. Then we also got another NXT debut of the NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez versus Indy Hartwell. They actually got history together, so this was actually kind of a make sense. Indy still on that, I don't want to cheat, but you got, you know, story is actually pretty cool, but yeah, you got, how does Johnny Gargano feel about his wife, Candace, like being a heel?
She's gone being, man, so there's like being a heel, and then there's being a straight up cunt. And I feel like that's what she's being. And she's being
really mean.
I love it. Everything about it.
No, it's been great. And the story between them two has been amazing. And then having Roxanne in there just being mean too. It just felt so sorry for Indy. But in the end, Roxanne Perez gets the W. And it was pretty, pretty cool. Sammy went out there to celebrate, got interrupted by Imperium. Chad Gable came out to save, and we get a tag match between Zayn and Gable versus Imperium, with Gable and Zayn getting the W. Zayn thanking Gable and said that they were even fucking around with Gable, but said that he's gonna really give him a title match in Montreal next week. So that should be a barn burner. Looking forward to that. Then we get poor Chelsea. So Chelsea is asking for a match and mad that she wasn't on WrestleMania. Why? Was it me or did those three general managers set up Chelsea?
She got set the fuck up.
Like, that was... She got set up. She comes out there, then Jade music hit. I'm like, y'all are dirty. Y'all are dirty. Jade makes quick work. 1, 2, 3. Chelsea, in my opinion, even though she lost, she looked great in that loss. I don't know what it is about her character. The Karen character is working so well. Drew McIntyre does a... just goes off. Let's just say that. Drew goes off before the start of this 6-man. It's a fatal 4-way. Winner faces Priest. And it's going to be Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre versus Ricochet versus Bronson Reed. And that's a lot of talent in the ring.
That is a lot of not only talent, but just pure all those people. I feel like love wrestling all the way down to like everything to do with it.
Yeah, no, it was a very, very great match. I believe that was the main event, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was that the main event? So yeah, that was the main event on Raw. In the end, Jey Uso gets the W because of Punk. Punk comes out and costs Drew the match again.
He looked like a little gremlin the way he was just holding onto his foot laughing.
Right? It was so messed up.
It's beautiful.
And it was funny because of the fact that if you really think about it, it was like Drew kind of brought this on himself.
If you would have just went to the back, you would probably still be champion right now. But no, you had to get up and try and seduce this man.
In front of your wife.
Yeah. With his possibly watching at home.
I'll talk about Drew's wife.
Yeah, and I'm saying with Punk's wife possibly.
Oh, wow, yeah, she was definitely watching at home. So that was Raw. The Raw after Mania was really good. There was a bunch of backstage segments and a lot of good tidbits in there. It was probably one of the best Raw after Manias in a while because you know, they've been kind of lackluster lately. But then we go into NXT. NXT was really, really good after Stand and Deliver. We got four of the six women that were involved in that six-woman tag tagging up against each other. Okay. Kiana James and Izzy Dame versus Fallon Henley and Kalani Jordan. The Heels won. The Mean Girls won. They kind of got their little payback after their loss at Stand and Deliver. All four women looked great. They did their thing. Then we had a debut of, what's it, Javon Evans versus Scripps. This was, it was really good, but very flippy. I was trying to figure out the wording of it. It was, there was some crazy shit that these two were doing.
Organized chaos.
It was nuts. Evans, like, that kid can move, especially being so tall and lanky. Like, he can move. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do on the NXT roster. Scripps put him over nicely. Evans gets the W in his debut, and it was really good. Then we got the NXT champion, Roxanne Perez, facing Natalya, which we already know Natty is just amazing. And they put on a clinic. But Roxanne Perez got the victory over Natalya. Then we got the family versus the No Quarter Catch crew. And this should have been in my news report, and I totally forgot. But Drew has been removed from everything. He actually has been removed from the No Quarter Catch crew. Like, he's not on their Titantron anymore. His name's not up there anymore. He's not being mentioned. I don't think he's even online anymore with, like, you know, the actual website. Like, they completely removed them after the allegation that Ronda Rousey put out there. And I guess they're just doing it to be safe and investigating, just to make sure that, you know, everything's on up and up. And it makes sense why they're doing what they're doing. They, at this point in time, this is what they need to do. They shouldn't have. They did the right thing of taking him off of TV, whether he's guilty or not. You know what I mean? Whether he's guilty or innocent, he needed to be taken off until they figured it out. So, you're looking like me there, sir. We couldn't see your face. He's like as really? Dark as I am.
Oh, I don't know why.
But the family defeats No Quarter Catch crew and gets the W. And then next, you had Jada Parker versus Brinley Reese. Parker gets the W. She's from OTM.
Okay.
Out the Mud, if y'all don't know what OTM stands for. And that was a pretty good, solid match. Those ladies did their thing. And then you got Axiom versus Nathan Frazier versus the NXT Tag Team Champions and Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. And basically, Axiom and Frazier said if they did not win this, they would break up as a team. Because obviously it's not working. But in the end, we get new NXT Tag Team Champions. And we're able to pull out that victory over Breakker and Corbin. And they don't have to break up. We got new NXT Champions. And I think that's mainly because of the fact that, we're getting, you know, Breakker going up to the main roster. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But in the end, Axiom and Frazier get destroyed by the Final Testament with Akam and Razor, the Authors of Pain, holding up the titles. And this is not fair. When they did this, I was like, you should have just kept it on Corbin and fucking Breakker. This is unfair. You're like feeding these poor guys to the lions.
You're going to learn today.
Right? And Breakker came out afterwards and said goodbye to NXT. It was pretty cool. And pretty dope. And yes, this Villains Lounge is going to be heavily concentrated on WWE. I'm going to do Dynamite-ish. Only one thing to talk about that. That's damn footage. They did a countdown for the footage and did that. And the Bucks tried to make shit into chicken salad. And they tried their best. Showed the video, tried to make a story about it to involve them, which it didn't involve them whatsoever. Neither one of the teams.
No.
And it was just a ratings ploy. I waited till it came out on X before I watched it. I was not tuning in for that bullshit. I don't know what happened. I know Ospreay made an ass of himself.
Ospreay shot a promo and mentioned how somebody said that if you don't have the ability to grind on our schedule, then I'm glad we don't have you. You don't need to take shots every time somebody else does.
In my opinion, it wasn't really a shot, though. It was just a true fact statement.
Exactly, and I don't disagree with that. But I think if he would have just stuck to him and Danielson's beef, then it would have been a lot better.
You know, the funny part about it is I hear that it was his idea to say that. It wasn't even brought up to him. He's the one that wanted to say something, and it's like, but how you know he was? Who says he was really talking to you? Could have been talking.
You're
about
talking about making the comments Triple H said.
Yeah, talking about making a comment about what Triple H said. Yeah, and making a comment on it. Yeah, that was his idea. He's the one that made an ass of himself.
Oh, I thought I saw something that said it wasn't his idea.
No, it was his idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was his idea to make an ass of himself. So, I mean, to each his own. And that's about the only thing that was worth talking about on Dynamite.
Different strokes, different folks.
Pretty much. So, I guess we will go into the SmackDown review. Here's your place to shine, sir.
Damn, why'd you have to say it like that? Why can't you just be a normal person and say the SmackDown review?
Because I'm not a normal person.
I understand that.
How long have you known me?
Too long.
And how many times have I been normal?
A handful. All right, so
that's you being nice.
yeah, that is me being nice. So Cody Rhodes obviously opened up SmackDown, came out and, you know, brought comments up about The Rock coming out, but pretty much focused on the fact that it's time to look to the future now, and pretty much announced that there is going to be two triple threat matches to determine who will face each other to face him at Backlash.
Yes.
In France. I don't know where in France, but in France.
I can't remember what they said.
Yeah. It's a French word and I can't pronounce it.
Nope. And if somebody puts it in the comments, we're going to fuck it all up. Just letting you know. Perth? No, that's where they were at in Australia.
No, that's Australia.
Okay, it's another word though, isn't it?
No, I think it begins with an L. But anywho, you know, this was a solid promo from Cody. He, you know, he's great on the mic, so it's nothing out of the normal. Moving on from there, we see the Bloodline backstage. I'm going to say Mr. Golden posted it. I'm going to say it's lying, but
but it's not. It's not. It's totally not. Oh, he said it's pronounced
Leon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That makes sense. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Golden.
Appreciate it.
Backstage, we see the Bloodline, who are a little butthurt about not having their locker room. More so Solo looked butthurt about not having his
locker room. Oh, he looked mad. He looked big boy mad.
Paul Heyman explained to him that winning and losing matters here, and if they want their locker room back, the title needs to come back home.
Per the Tribal Chief's orders.
Yeah, per the Tribal Chief's orders. Moving on from there, we get LA Knight, Bobby Lashley, and Santos Escobar.
Poor Santos.
In the first triple threat match to determine who's going to face the other person from the triple threat match. This was a solid match. I'm not a big fan of triple threat matches.
Normally, I'm not either.
I feel like they get a little, out of control.
They can. I hate being in them.
Yeah, I prefer not to be in them, but whatever. This was pretty straightforward, you know. I like that Legado del Fantasma took advantage of a triple threat being no disqualification, came out and tried to help, you know, Santos Escobar. Of course, that didn't work too well for them. LA Knight getting the victory in this overall, though. This, for me, was a solid 3X handles. It was great all around. And LA Knight getting progressed further in a good story. Moving on from there, we find out that Rey, good old Daddy Mysterio, is going to find out who attacked Dragon Lee. And if you did not pay attention to the facial expressions and the way Carlito acted, you would really think it was somebody else. But I am wholeheartedly convinced that this little bastard Carlito just does not like the fact that Dragon Lee was brought in, does not like the fact that Andrade took Dragon Lee's place. Like, somebody butthurt.
I think he has every right to be.
Now we're going to move on to where I get a little upset. The Bloodline comes out in our next lovely little segment. Solo looking pretty hostile and pretty pissed off, grabs the mic from Paul Heyman in the middle of his little speech and says that wins and loss matters and people need to be held accountable, and walks up to Jimmy and hugs him, tells him, "You're my brother and I love you." And then the moment he turns his back, good old Tama Tonga from New Japan Pro Wrestling, if you've lived under a rock and don't know who he is, attacks Jimmy Uso from behind. This is so heartbreaking.
I love this.
Well,
as Mr. cares. Gordon says, Solo wasn't feeling very oozy.
No, Solo was not feeling very oozy. I get it. He is the adopted son of Haku, in case nobody knows that. I really would have liked to seen Tama Tonga do his own thing. Maybe see a little New Japan Bullet Club reunion with him and maybe Finn Balor. But of course that didn't happen. He joined the Bloodline.
But it makes sense.
It does make sense. And that's why I'm like, oh, I want to be mad, but it makes sense.
It makes sense. Tama Tonga looked great, by the way.
Tama Tonga did look. He looked phenomenal, man. That, you know, Samoan Spike to Jimmy and proceeded to beat the dog shit out of him. Tama Tonga and Solo throw up the ones. Solo goes and pretty much kidnaps poor Paul Heyman.
I know, right?
forces him to throw the one up. Paul Heyman gets ready to call Roman, it looked like, and Solo snaps and takes the phone and smashes it. I loved this whole segment.
This segment was really good.
Other than Tama Tonga, bastard.
Don't hate on Tama Tonga.
I'm not hating on Tama Tonga.
Doing his job.
I know, and I like Tama Tonga, so this all around, this whole segment gets a 3X handle from me. This was almost perfect. Moving on from there, we get Cameron Grimes, who at this point I feel like needs to go back to NXT versus Bron Breakker.
That was this, unfair.
This was so unfair. Like, you want to talk about somebody being used like a rag doll? This was it. Cameron Grimes did get a little bit of offense in, so that was cool to see. But Bron Breakker just shut that shit right down.
Dude, that spear.
That spear, dude. Oh my god. That shit
made me run so fucking fast. He runs the ropes at like 25 miles.
25 miles an hour. Yeah, that is absolutely insane.
That's scary.
Yeah, Breakker destroyed him, dude. Like, there's no other way to say it.
It was a squash match.
Yeah, it was a wholehearted squash match. I give it one axe handle.
As
only because he got a little bit of offense in. Like,
I'd give it two just because it was a match what it was designed to be.
It was. He's the Nikki Cross.
He's the Nikki Cross.
Wow.
The
big business,
cannon fodder. Actually, what her on the what was it, the Hall of Fame ceremony before that?
Yeah.
She like came and interrupted somebody. I love Nikki. I don't care. She's freaking great. I love Nikki.
Yeah, Nikki is amazing. Moving on from there, we get Bayley's championship celebration. While Bayley is coming to the ring, we get an AJ Styles promo backstage. Pretty much just ranting and raving. And then we go back to the Bayley celebration. Bayley is interrupted, of course, by Tiffany Stratton. And basically said that she accepted Bayley's open challenge, which wasn't really an open challenge to begin with. Bayley, of course, saying that she has somebody else in mind and brings out Naomi, which was cool to see. Man,
Naomi. She owned Naomi because Naomi
did. She did.
So that made sense.
Naomi got into Tiffany's ass. Like, Naomi just lit her the fuck up, told her that she earns all of her title opportunities and that she would fight Tiffany Stratton. And she did. And the next match was Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. This was I don't want to call it a squash because it wasn't, but it was.
I didn't get a chance to see this match, but I keep hearing like a little bit, like people saying, "Oh, this is kind of like a backpedal for Tiffany."
I don't want to quote Mr. Golden and say, rest in peace to Tiffany's push, but this was definitely like you probably should have put somebody else in there.
They probably should have because Tiffany did have a lot of momentum. But honestly, see, this is the thing though. I don't think it hurt her because of who it is.
I can agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like if it was like Dakota Kai or. What's the big tall one? Raquel Rodriguez or, you know, somebody like that, like in that mid-section, then that I think that would have hurt. But it was Naomi. I don't think it hurt Tiffany at all.
I don't think it hurt her the way that people are taking it.
Of course. And some people, look, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Everybody has one. I like that Naomi won. That brings us to, I believe, Naomi versus Bayley at Backlash.
Possibly, yeah. That's going to be a banger.
That's going to be fire, and I can't wait for it. Going on from there, man, we go backstage and see Paul Heyman get ready to say something, and then... lo and behold, there's Tama Tonga just standing there. Looking like he's ready to rip Paul Heyman's head off.
No, poor Heyman. I feel bad.
And there's Solo standing right next to him. I don't know if I'm supposed to call 911 and report a kidnapping or not.
We at this point, we might need to. Like, poor Paul.
This man definitely should have took the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame now and just go home.
Right?
Go home. Like, do what Roman lost and he left and now it's your turn to leave or Solo may eat you.
He might.
Like, legitimately, he may eat you.
He might.
This, of course, brings us into our next segment, which was Jade and Bianca Belair versus Chelsea Green and Piper Niven.
That was unfair.
Yes, this was unfair.
Poor Piper.
Yeah. I never thought I would say that for Piper Niven, but yeah, poor Piper. Poor,
Chelsea deserves it. Chelsea deserves it because her character is a Karen. But what did Piper do? What did Piper did. Do besides trying to help?
Someone has to be a jobber. I was trying to avoid saying that.
I don't consider them as jobbers, to be perfectly honest with you.
Not enough diva jobbers. They're not called divas anymore, by the way.
Yes. They're not. But yeah, no. You're right. Somebody has to take the L.
Yeah, no, he is right on that. And of course, Jade Cargill doing what Jade Cargill does best and just laying waste to everyone. And her and Bianca Belair pick up the 1-2-3. I don't know if anybody caught this. Of course, you probably did. The random glitch in the bottom corner of your TV screen that says you forgot about us.
Yeah.
That, of course, more than likely Uncle Howdy.
It happened during Raw, too.
It happened on Raw during the Bronson Reed match.
Yeah.
Shayna, what about her?
Yeah, what about Shayna? Besides what she did WrestleMania weekend to that poor AEW girl?
Oh, you talking about GCW Bloodsport?
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
Jobber?
I wouldn't say that.
On certain days.
Maybe, but not after what she did at GCW.
No.
Jobber, what?
If you haven't had a chance, go check that out, by the way.
Yeah, no, that match was really good. Those women actually did a phenomenal job. It was cool as shit. And you know the funny part about it is I heard that Tony Khan, Triple H, and like a bunch of other people were at the GCW show.
Yeah, CM Punk was there.
Punk was there.
A handful of them were there.
How funny is that they were there, but no Tony Khan, even though he had some of his wrestlers there. He's usually there.
I mean, he didn't want to get beat up.
If it was me, I would have been there. I would have showed up anyway. I don't give a fuck which one of y'all there. Y'all not going to stop me.
I'd have showed up and I'd have sat right in front of you.
I would have sat right next to him.
I mean, yeah, but he probably had everybody else sitting next to him. So
yeah, no, you're right. I would have sat close, real close.
Uh-huh. So that after the Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair pick up the W over Green and Niven, we move on to the final match of the evening and our last triple threat between Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles, and Kevin Owens. This again, man. Like I said earlier, I'm not a fan of triple threat matches, but this was solid.
It was really good.
Rey Mysterio just gets thrown around like a beach ball. But of course, he's able to use that to his advantage. It just wasn't enough. AJ comes out on top with this one. So next week on SmackDown, we get AJ versus LA Knight to determine who will face Cody Rhodes at Backlash in Lyon, France.
Mr. Golden said AJ versus LA versus KO versus CM versus TL Hopper. That guy. The wrestling plumber.
Battle of the initials.
Right? TL Hopper is living vicariously through Plumber Moxley.
This was solid in my mind. This, like I said, it's cool that we're going to get AJ and LA Knight running it back one more time.
All right, getting part two. Or is it part three?
It's part two.
Part two. Okay.
Part three if you count him beating that ass at his house.
Getting arrested wrongfully.
Yeah.
They're in Georgia. Look, he lucky he wasn't a black man.
Oh my God.
Getting arrested in Georgia.
Oh, come on now.
What? Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Possibly.
I doubt it.
Possibly. So yeah, that was our SmackDown. It was a solid SmackDown. You couldn't really expect too much. It was just after Mania, so
it was solid. I thought it was a really solid SmackDown. They're just gearing up for everything.
Yeah, Backlash is what, like 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just trying to build this card for what I consider a hole in the wall pay-per-view.
This PLE is going to be nuts because they're going to be in France. You already know how the international fans are.
Oh my God. I understand that. But just because they're in France, that means I'm going to have to watch it like at 12 or something. It's just going to fuck my whole day up.
So yeah, we will be doing a live reaction of Backlash from France, from Lyon. And we will be doing, unfortunately for me, Dynasty. I don't even know what there's only one match I'm looking forward to.
Oh, you're going to have to sit there and actually watch Dynasty?
I did the last one.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, have fun.
Drag your ass on there. I won't do that to you because I'm a nice guy. However, yes, we will be doing Dynasty, and we will only be doing reviewing one match during the watch along. That's it. We're going to come in on the main event.
You got to review the whole
show. I only want to see the main event. That's it.
Nobody cares what you want. It's what the people want.
Nah, y'all don't want to see it. Look, trust me, y'all don't want anything but the main event. I promise you.
Probably not, but.
Why? I was wishing she put the match on first so I don't have to watch the rest.
Hey, that's one way to do it.
Oh, and if Swerve loses, I'm going to burn Tony Khan alive.
Wow, that is a threat, and you can't put that out there.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to really burn him alive.
He's going to roast him on the show is what he means by that.
Yes, that's what I meant. I came out wrong. Sort of. Kind of.
Not at all.
Swerve better win, though, because if he wins against Joe, would be mad. Oh, there's one more little news I forgot about. Julia Hart, the TBS champion, might be injured. It looks like she got injured on Dynamite.
Was that her knee?
I think so. That sucks. I hope she's okay, Julia. Considering very that talented. She's really new, very talented woman, very entertaining. Get well soon. I hope it's not serious. I hope it's just like something that's just going to put you down for a week or two so you can show up at Dynasty and lose that title to Willow. But hey, I digress. We are at the end of the show. We knew it was going to be a long one. We appreciate everybody joining us on X, on Facebook, everybody commenting. Yes, there has been.
Oh, you know what?
Things said about
Ed. Don't egg him on.
No, please don't.
Don't egg him on.
Because the IWC will lose their shit.
Oh my God!
Hey, look, it's not my fault that Booger Sugar Khan is off his rocker. But look. Thank you for watching the Villains Lounge. Tune in to Chaz and Friends or somebody and their friends tomorrow. About this time, 6 o'clock, I believe it is. Maybe way before this time. Watch Now Enter in the Ring. Watch some old episodes of what we do, Villains Lounge. Like, follow, subscribe. On Twitter, it's 3count_pod. Everything else is 3countpod. The number 3. Do not spell it out. Buy our stuff for your wear, their stuff. I think there might be a Villains Lounge t-shirt coming soon.
Really?
My t-shirt coming out soon. You were asked to give somebody a call.
Yes, I was.
And I just put it out there in the world. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching. We will be back soon. I'm going to try to get on the ball with this. It's just been busy with real life stuff.
So it happens, man. It happens.
But again, thanks for watching, and we'll catch y'all again later. We're going to end this.